George Whitefield, Sermon 27, Blind Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, verse 52. Quote, "And Jesus said unto him, Go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." When the Apostle Peter was recommending Jesus of Nazareth in one of his sermons to the Jews, he gave him a short, but withal a glorious and exalted character, quote, "that we went about doing good," end quote. He went about, he sought occasions of doing good. It was his meat and drink to do the works of him that sent him. While the day of his public administration lasted, justly was he stilled by the prophet, the Son of Righteousness. For as the sun in the natural firmament diffuses his quickening and reviving beams through the universe, so wherever this Son of Righteousness, the blessed Jesus, arose, he arose with healing under his wings. He was indeed a prophet like unto Moses, and proved that he was the Messiah which was to come into the world by the miracles which he wrought. Though with this material difference, the miracles of Moses, agreeable to the Old Testament dispensation, were miracles of judgment. The miracles of Jesus, who came to bear our sicknesses and heal our infirmities, were miracles of mercy, and were wrought not only for the cure of people's bodies, but also for the conversion of their precious and immortal souls. Sometimes one and the same person was the subject of both these mercies. A glorious proof of this we have in the miraculous cure wrought upon a poor blind beggar named Bartimaeus, who is to be the subject of the following discourse, and to whom the words of the text refer. Quote, "Jesus said unto him, Go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way," end quote. My design is first to make some observations on the matter of fact, as recorded by the evangelists, and then, secondly, to point out the improvement that may be made thereof. May Jesus so bless this following discourse that every spiritually blind hearer may receive his sight, and, after the example of Bartimaeus, quote, "follow Jesus in the way," end quote. If we would take a view of the whole story, we must go back to the 46th verse of this chapter, quote, "And they," our Lord and his disciples, who we find by the context had been conversing together, "came to Jericho," end quote, a place devoted by Joshua to the curse of God, and yet even this place yields converts to Jesus. Zacchaeus had been called there formerly, and Bartimaeus, as we shall hear by and by, in all probability was called now. For some good may come even out of Nazareth. Christ himself was born there, and his sovereign grace can reach and overcome the worst of people in the most worst of places. Jesus came to Jericho. Let not his ministers, if providence points out their way, shun going to seemingly the most unlikely places to do good. Some chosen vessels may be therein. Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. They were itinerants, and, as I have frequently observed, seldom stayed long in a place. Not that this is any argument against the stated settlement of particular pastors over particular parishes. But, however, our Lord's practice in this respect gives kind of a sanction to itinerant preaching when persons are properly called to and qualified for such an employ. And I believe we may venture to affirm, though we would by no means prescribe or dictate to the Holy One of Israel, that whenever there shall be a general revival of religion in any country, itinerant preaching will be more in vogue. And it is to be feared that those who condemn it now merely on account of the meanness of its appearances, would have joined with the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees in condemning even the Son of God himself for such a practice. Quote, "And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people," end quote, a great number of mob or rabble, as the high priests of that generation termed them, for these were the constant followers of Jesus of Nazareth. It was the poor that received his gospel. The common people heard him gladly and followed him from place to place. Not that all who followed him were his true disciples. No, some followed him only for his loaves, others out of curiosity, though some undoubtedly followed to hear and be edified by the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Jesus knew this and was also sensible how displeasing this crowding after him was to some of the rulers of the Jewish church, who upon every occasion were ready to say, quote, "Have any of the scribes and Pharisees believed on him?" End quote. But notwithstanding, I do not hear of our blessed Lord's sending them home but once, and that was after they had been with him 3 days and had nothing left to eat. He saw they were as sheep having no shepherd, and therefore had compassion on them and taught them. A sufficient warrant this for the gospel ministers to preach to the poor souls that follow to hear the word, whatever principle their company may proceed from. At the same time, they should caution people against thinking themselves Christians because they follow Christ's ministers. This our Lord frequently did. For there are many that follow Jesus and follow not his ministers and hear them gladly, nay, perhaps do many things, as Herod did, who, it is to be feared, will never follow them into the kingdom of heaven. Much people followed Jesus out of Jericho, but how many of them were offended in him, and afterwards, it may be, cried out, quote, crucify him, end quote. Who would depend on popularity? It is like the morning cloud or early dew that passes away. But what a press and seemingly continued hurry of business did the blessed Jesus live in. He could not be hid. Go where he would, much people followed him. He had scarce time to eat bread. Happy is it for such who are called to act in a public station in the church and to be more abundant in labors, that their Jesus was trodden in this dangerous path before them. Popularity is a fiery furnace, and no one but he who kept the three children amidst Nebuchadnezzar's flames can preserve popular ministers from being hurt by it. But we can do all things through Christ strengthening us. And I have often thought that there is one consideration sufficient to extinguish or moderate, at least, any excess of joy and self-complacence, which the most popular preacher may feel when followed even by the greatest multitudes, and that is this, quote, "How many of these hearers will go away with receiving any saving benefit by my preaching? Nay, how many, it may be, will only have their damnation increased by it," end quote. As we find many will say at the great day, quote, "Have you not taught in our streets?" end quote. To whom Jesus shall answer, quote, "Verily, I know you not," end quote. But to proceed, quote, "As our Lord went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging," end quote. It should seem that he was a noted, though by no means what we commonly call, a sturdy beggar, having no other way, as he had lost his sight, to get his bread. His case was still the more pitiable. If he was, as some think the name imports, the blind son of a blind father, it may be he begged for his father and himself too. And if so, then this may give us light into the passage of Matthew chapter 20, verse 22, where we are told that, quote, two men spake to Jesus, end quote. It might be father and son, though only one is mentioned here, because he only followed Jesus in the way. Thus that holy, judicious, and practical expositor of Holy Writ, Mr. Henry. But however this be, he is not blamed for begging, neither should we discommend others for so doing when Providence calls to it. It was the unjust steward that said, quote, to beg I am ashamed, end quote. It is our pride that often makes us unwilling to be beholden. Jesus was not thus minded. He lived, as it were, upon alms. The women that followed him ministered to him of their substance. Bartimaeus, not being able to dig, begs for his living, and, in order to make a better trade of it, sat by the highway side, in all probability with or near the gate of the city, where people must necessarily pass in and out. But though he had lost his sight, he had his hearing perfect. And it should comfort us, if we have lost one sense, that we may have the use of another, or that we are not deprived of the benefit of all. Happily was it for Bartimaeus that he could hear, though not see. For in all probability, upon hearing the noise and clamor of the much people that followed after our Lord, his curiosity set him upon inquiring into the cause of it. And someone or another told him, quote, that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, end quote. Jesus of Nazareth, called so because he was bred there, or out of contempt, Nazareth being either a very mean or very wicked place, or both, which made guileless Nathanael say, quote, can any good thing come out of Nazareth, end quote. And what does Bartimaeus do when he hears of Jesus? We are told, verse 47, quote, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, end quote. This plainly denotes that though the eyes of his body were shut, yet the eyes of his mind were, in some degree, open, so that he saw perhaps more than most of the multitude that followed after Jesus. For as soon as he heard of him, he began to cry out, which he would not have done had he not heard of him before, and believed also that he was both able and willing to restore sight to the blind. Quote, he began to cry out, end quote. This implies that he had a deep sense of his own misery and the need which he had of a cure. His prayers did not freeze as they went out of his lips. He began to cry out that Jesus might hear him, notwithstanding the noise of the throng. And he began to cry out as soon as he heard he was passing by, not knowing whether he might ever enjoy such an opportunity any more. Quote, he began to cry out, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy upon me, end quote. The people called him Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus styles him, quote, Jesus, you son of David, end quote, thereby evidencing that he believed him to be the Messiah who was come into the world, unto whom the Lord God was to give the throne of his father David, and of whose kingdom there was to be no end. Quote, Jesus, you son of David, end quote. Or, as it is in the parallel place of St. Matthew chapter 20, verse 30, quote, O Lord, you son of David, end quote, of whom it had been long foretold, Isaiah 35, that when he should come, quote, the eyes of the blind should be opened, end quote. Quote, have mercy upon me, end quote. The natural language of a soul brought to lie down at the feet of a sovereign God. Here is no laying claim to a cure by way of merit, no proud, self-righteous, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, not bringing in a recommending of performances, nor any doubting of Jesus' power or willingness to heal him, but out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks, and in the language of the poor, broken-hearted publican, he cries out, quote, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on me, end quote. Jesus, you friend of sinners, you Savior, who, though you be the true God, was pleased to become the Son of David and to be made man, that you might seek and save those that were lost. Have mercy upon me. Let your bowels yearn towards a poor, miserable, blind beggar. One would have thought that such a moving petition as this would have melted the whole multitude that heard his piteous cry into compassion and induced some at least to turn suitors in his behalf or help to carry him to the blessed Jesus. But instead of that, we are told, verse 48, that, quote, many charged him, end quote. The word in the original seems to imply a charge attended with threatening and spoken in an angry manner. They charged him, quote, to hold his peace, end quote, and, it may be, threatened to beat him if he did not. They looked upon him beneath the notice of Jesus of Nazareth, and were ready enough to ask whether he thought Jesus Christ had nothing else to do but to wait upon him. This was, no doubt, very discouraging to blind Bartimaeus, for the opposition comes closest when it proceeds from those who are esteemed followers of the Lamb. The spouse complains as of something particularly afflicting that her own mother's children were angry with her. But opposition only serves to whet the edge of true devotion, and therefore Bartimaeus, instead of being silenced by their charges and threatenings, quote, cried out the more a great deal, you son of David, have mercy on me, end quote. Still, he breaks out into the same humble language, and if Jesus, the son of David, will have mercy on him, he cares not what some of his peevish followers said of or did unto him. This was not a vain repetition, but a devout reiteration of his request. We may sometimes repeat the same words, and yet not be guilty of that batalogia, or vain speaking, which our Lord condemns. Our Lord himself prayed in his agony, and said twice the same words, quote, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, end quote. Thus Bartimaeus, quote, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy upon me, end quote. And how does the son of David treat him? Does he join issue with the multitude and charge him to hold his peace? Or does he go on thinking him beneath his notice? No, for says St. Mark, verse 49, quote, Jesus stood still, end quote, though he was on a journey, and it may be in haste, for it was not losing time to stop now and then on the journey to do a good office by the way, quote, and commanded him to be called, end quote. Why so? To teach us to be condescending and kind, even to the poor, if real beggars, and tacitly to reprove the blind, misguided zeal of those who had charged him to hold his peace. By this our Lord prepares the multitude the better to take the more notice of the blind man's faith, and of his own mercy and power exerted in healing him. For there are times and seasons when we are called to perform acts of charity in the most public manner, and that too very consistently with the injunction of our Savior, quote, not let the right hand know what the left hand does, end quote. For there is a great deal of difference between giving alms and exercising acts of charity that are seen of men and doing them that they may be seen. The one is always sinful, the other often becomes our duty. Jesus commanded Bartimaeus to be called, quote, and they called him, end quote. Who called him? It may be those who a little before charged him to hold his peace. For it often happens that our opposers and discouragers afterwards become our friends. Quote, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies be at peace with him, end quote. And it is to be wished that all who have charged poor souls that are crying after Jesus to hold their peace and spare themselves, and not be righteous overmuch, would imitate the people here and encourage those they once persecuted and maligned. Quote, "They called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, he calls for you," end quote. The words and the manner of speaking them implies haste and a kind of solicitude for the blind man's relief. Oh, that we might hereby learn to be patient and long-suffering towards opposers. It may be that many may oppose awakened souls, not out of enmity, but through prejudice and misinformation, through ignorance and unbelief, and a real, though perhaps false, persuasion that their relations are going in the wrong way. By and by, they may be convinced that Christ is indeed calling them, and then they may become real and open friends to the cause and work of God. If not, it is our duty to behave with meekness towards all, and not to render railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that we are thereunto called, that we may inherit a blessing. Jesus did not break out into harsh language against these opposers, neither did Bartimaeus. Quote, "Our Lord stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calls you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." End quote. Had Bartimaeus not been in earnest when he cried, quote, "Jesus, you son of David, have mercy upon me," end quote, he might have said, "Why do you mock me? Why bid you me arise? Rise indeed I can, but after I am risen, how can I, being blind, find my way unto him? If he will come to me, it is well. If not, all your calling avails nothing, it being impossible for me to find my way." Thus thousands nowadays object to the evangelical preachers saying, "Why do you bid us come to and believe on Jesus Christ, when you tell us it is impossible of ourselves to turn to God or to do good works, and that no one can come unto him unless the Father draw him? Is not this the people's calling upon Bartimaeus to arise and come to Jesus, when he could not possibly see his way before him? True, it is so, and would to God that all who make this objection would imitate Bartimaeus and put forth the strength they have. What if we call you to come and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may be saved? Does this imply that you have a power in yourselves to do so? No, in no wise, no more than Jesus saying unto Lazarus, dead and stinking carcass, quote, "Come forth," end quote, implied that Lazarus had a power to raise himself from the grave. We call to you, being commanded to preach the gospel to every creature, hoping and praying that Christ's power may accompany the word and make it effectual to the quickening and raising of your dead souls. We also call to you to believe upon the same account as Jesus said unto the lawyer, quote, "Do this and you shall live," end quote. That you, seeing your utter inability to come, might thereby be convinced of your unbelief and be led to ask for faith of him whose gift it is, and who is therefore in Scripture and emphatically still the author as well as finisher of our faith. Add to this that it is your duty to wait at the pool, or to make us of the strength you have in the earnest and steady performance of all commanded duty. For though you cannot do what is spiritually good because you want spiritual principles of action, yet you may do what is morally and materially good, inasmuch as you are reasonable creatures, and though doing your duty as you can, no ways deserves mercy or entitles you to it. Yet it is the way in which you are required to walk, and the way in which God is usually found. While you are attempting to stretch out your withered arm, peradventure it may be restored, and who knows but Jesus may work faith in you by his almighty power. Bartimaeus has set before such objectors an example. Oh, that they would once submit to be taught by a poor blind beggar. For he, casting away his garment, rose, and blind as he was, came to Jesus, quote, casting away his garment, unquote. This seems to be a large coat or cloak that he wore to screen himself from rain and cold. Undoubtedly, it was most necessary and valuable vestment he had, and one would have thought that he should have taken this along with him, but he knew very well that if he did so, it might hang about his heels and thereby his reaching Jesus be retarded at least, if not prevented entirely. Valuable, therefore, as it was to him, he cast it away. The word implies that he threw it off his shoulders with great precipitancy and resolution, knowing that if he got a cure, which he now hoped for by Christ calling him, he should never want his garment again. And thus will all do that are in earnest about coming to Jesus here, or seeing and enjoying him in his kingdom eternally hereafter. They will cut off a right hand, they will pluck out a right eye, they will leave father and mother, husband and wife, yes, and their own lives also, rather than be his disciples. The Apostle Paul, therefore, exhorts Christians to, quote, lay aside every weight and the sin that does most easily beset them, end quote, or hand upon their heels, as the word in the original imports, alluding to the custom of the Romans who wore long robes. Such a one was this, which Bartimaeus had wrapped around him. But he, to show that he sincerely desired to recover his sight, casting it away, arose and came to Jesus. And what treatment did Jesus give him? Did he say, come not nigh me, you impudent, noisy beggar? No. Quote, he answered and said unto him, what will you that I should do unto you? End quote. An odd question this, seemingly, for did not our Lord know what he wanted? Yes, he did. But the Lord Jesus dealt with him as he deals with us. He will make us acknowledge our wants ourselves, that we thereby may confess our dependence upon him, and be made more sensible of the need we stand in of his divine assistance. The blind man immediately replies, quote, Lord, thereby intimating his belief of Christ's divinity, that I may receive my sight, end quote. Methinks I see the poor creature listening to the voice of our Savior, and with looks and gestures bespeaking the inward earnestness of his soul, he cries out, quote, Lord, that I may receive my sight, end quote, as though he had said, I believe you are that Messiah who was to come into this world. I have heard of your fame, O Jesus, and hearing the long wished-for glad tidings of your coming this way, I cry out unto you, asking not for silver and gold, but for you, you alone canst give me, Lord, that I might receive my sight. No sooner does he ask, but he receives. For verse 52, quote, Jesus said unto him, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight, end quote. With the word there went a power, and he that spake light out of darkness, saying, quote, let there be light, and there was light, end quote, commanded light into this poor blind beggar's eyes, and behold, there was light. The miracle was instantaneous. Immediately he received his sight. And next to a miracle it was, that by breaking into open light all at once, he was not struck blind again, but he that gave the sight preserved it when given. Oh, happy Bartimaeus, your eyes are now opened, and the very first object you do behold is the ever-loving, altogether lovely Jesus. Methinks I see you transported with wonder and admiration, and all the disciples and the multitude gazing around you. And now, having received your sight, why do you not obey the Lord? Why do you not obey the Lord's command and go your way? Why do you not haste to fetch your garment that you just now in a hurry did cast away? No, no, with his bodily eyes I believe he received also a fresh addition of spiritual sight, and though others saw no form or comeliness in the blessed Jesus that they should desire him, yet he, by an eye of faith, discovered such transcendent excellencies in his royal person, and felt at the same time such a divine attraction towards his all-bountiful benefactor, that instead of going his way to fetch his garment, quote, he followed Jesus in the way, end quote. And by his actions, saying with faithful, honest-hearted Ruth, quote, entreat me not to leave you, for whither you go, I will go, where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God, end quote. He followed Jesus in the way, the narrow way, the way of the cross, and I doubt not, but long since he has followed him to his crown, and is at this time sitting with him at the right hand of his Father. And now, my dear hearers, how find you your hearts affected at the relation of this notable miracle which Jesus wrought? Are you not ready to break out into the language of the Song of Moses and to say, quote, who is like unto you, O Lord, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, continually doing wonders, end quote. Marvelous are your work, O Jesus, and that our souls know right when, but we must not stop here in admiring what Jesus did for Bartimaeus. This, no doubt, as well as other parts of Scripture, was written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Consequently, as was proposed in the second place, we should see what spiritual improvement can be made of this history, upon which we are already making some remarks. A natural man, indeed, goes no further than the outward court of the Scripture, and reads this and the other miracles of the Blessed Savior just in the same manner as he reads Homer's battles or the exploits of Alexander. But God forbid that we should rest in only hearing this matter of fact. For I tell you, O man, I tell you, O woman, whoever you are, that sit this day under a preached gospel, that if you are in a natural state, you are as blind in your soul as Bartimaeus was in his body, a blind child of a blind father, even of your father Adam, who lost his sight when he lost his innocence, and entailed his blindness, justly inflicted upon you and me, and his whole posterity. Some think indeed that you see, but alas, such talk only like men in their sleep, like persons besides themselves. The Scriptures everywhere represent fallen man, not only as spiritually blind, but dead also. And we no more know by nature, savingly, the way of salvation by Jesus Christ than Bartimaeus, when he was blind, knew the colors of the rainbow. This, I trust, some of you begin to feel. I see you concerned. I see you weeping. And was I to ask some of you what you want to have done unto you, I know your answer would be that we may receive our sight. And God forbid that I should charge you to hold your peace, as though Jesus would not regard you. No, you're being made sensible of your natural blindness, and crying thus earnestly after Jesus is a sign, at least, that you are awakened by his Holy Spirit. Though it is possible that you may cry with an exceeding bitter cry, as Esau did, and be lost at last. However, Christian charity induces me to believe and hope the best. I will therefore, in the language of those who afterwards encouraged Bartimaeus, say unto you, arise, take comfort, for I trust Jesus is calling you. Follow, therefore, the example of Bartimaeus. Cast away your garment, lay aside every weight, and the sin which does most easily beset you. Arise and come to Jesus. He commands me by his written word to call you and say, quote, come unto him, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and he will refresh you. He will give you rest, end quote. Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. Behold, he comes forth to meet you. You are now on the highway side, and Jesus, I trust, is passing by. I feel his presence. I hope many of you feel it too. Oh, then cry mightily to him who is mighty and willing to save you. Lay yourselves at the feet of sovereign grace and say unto him, quote, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on me, end quote. In the same frame as Bartimaeus did, and Jesus will answer you. He will not cast out your prayer according to your faith. So shall it be done unto you. Blind as you are, you shall, notwithstanding, receive your sight. Satan, indeed, and unbelief will suggest many objections to you. Your carnal relations will also join issue with them and charge you to hold your peace. One will tell you that your blindness is too inveterate to be cured. Another, that it is too late. A third, that though Jesus can, yet he will not have mercy upon such poor, blind, despicable beggars as you are. But the more they charge you to hold your peace, do you cry out, so much the more, a great deal, quote, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on us, end quote. Jesus, you Savior, you friend of sinners, you son of David, and therefore a son of man, gracious words, enduring appellations. Be encouraged by them to draw nigh unto him. Though David's Lord, yet he is become David's son, after the flesh, that you, through him, may be made the sons of God, no matter what you are, O woman, what you are, O man, though you are literally a poor beggar, think not your condition too mean for Jesus to take notice of. He came into the highways and hedges to call such poor beggars in. Or, if you are rich, think not yourselves too high to stoop to Jesus. For he is the King of Kings, and you never will be truly rich until you are made rich in Jesus. Fear not being despised or losing a little worldly honor. One sight of Jesus will make amends for all. You will find something so inviting, so attracting, so satisfying in the altogether lovely Lamb of God that every subliminary enjoyment will sicken and die and vanish before you, and you will no more desire your formal vain and trifling amusements than Bartimaeus, after he had received his sight, desired to go back again and fetch his garment. Oh, that there may be many such blind beggars among you this day. Here is a great multitude of people following me, a poor worm this day. I rejoice to see the fields thus white, ready unto harvest, and to spread the gospel yet amidst so many. But alas, I shall return home with a heavy heart, unless some of you will arise and come to my Jesus. I desire to preach him, and not myself. Rest not in hearing and following me. Behold, believe on and follow the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. Indeed, I do not despair of any of you, neither am I discouraged on account of my preaching in the highways and hedges. Jesus called Zacchaeus. Jesus called Bartimaeus. As he passed through Jericho, that cursed and devoted place. And why may he not call some of you out of these despised fields? Is his arm shortened that he cannot save? Is he not as mighty now, and as willing to save, even to the uttermost, all that come to the Father through him, as he was 1700 years ago? Assuredly he is. He has said, and he also will do it, quote, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, end quote. In no wise, or by no means. Oh, encouraging words! Sinners, believe you this? Arise, then, and be of good comfort, for Jesus is indeed calling you. Some of you, I trust, have obeyed this invitation and have had a sight of him long ago. I know then you will bless and love him. And if he should say unto you, as he did unto Bartimaeus, Go your way, your answer would be, We love our master and will not go from him, but suffer you the word of exhortation. Suffer me to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Show that you have indeed seen him, and that you do indeed love him, by following him in the way, I mean in the way of the cross, the way of his ordinances, and in the way of his holy commandments. For alas, the love of many waxes cold, and few there are that follow Jesus rightly in the way. Few there are that cast away their garments so heartily as they should. Some idol or another hangs about us, and hinders us in running the race that is set before us. Awake, therefore, you sleepy, though it may be, wise virgins. Awake, awake, put on strength, shake yourself from the dust, arise, and follow Jesus more closely in the way than ever you did yet. Lift up the hands that hang down, and strengthen the feeble knees. Provide right paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather be healed. For the way be narrow, yet it is not long. Quote, Though the gate be straight, to use the words of pious Bishop Beveridge, yet it opens into eternal life. End quote. Oh, that you may get a fresh sight of him again this day. That would be like oil to the wheels of your graces, and make your souls like the chariots of Amminadab. It is only owing to your losing sight of him that you go so heavily from day to day. A sight of Jesus, like the sun rising in the morning, dispels the darkness and gloominess that lies upon the soul. Take therefore a fresh view of him, O believers, and never rest until you are translated to see him as he is, and to live with him forevermore in the kingdom of heaven. Even so, Lord Jesus, amen and amen. George Whitefield, Sermon 27, Blind Bartimaeus.